Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Needs a lot. You've got a club there in Buffalo that needs something to happen, and the Anaheim Ducks offense has been in the cellar for three straight seasons, which something's got to give here, and there certainly are a number of prospects here, and the Ducks have a high pick, third overall, and something's got to change. So this club needs change. The veteran forwards did not come through at all really last season, and there's a lot of interesting players in the cupboard, so we'll see, but I would have to say that I would look at the Ducks as a front runner.
It is Josh Brewster, Ducks postgame show host. He was on with us yesterday as we begin our exploration of teams that might be interested in Jack Eichel and what the Sabres could get back, who they could get back. And that was Anaheim, obviously. At 9, a little less than an hour from now, we will chat with Judd Zolgad of Score North in Minnesota, and we'll do a little exploration into the Wild. So that's coming up a little bit later. Just to follow up on something earlier, we were talking about the Bills and the lease and all this other stuff. And I know I was curious about KeyBank Center and all that. So the city owns the land where KeyBank Center is. You know, the county owns the stadium and the property there and leases it to the Bills. Well, with the hockey arena, it's the city. The city owns the land, and a lease agreement is in place with the owners of the arena. So there you go. City-owned property. I did want to ask you, you were talking about the player that most interests you. I was curious two things. One, what are the other players you were thinking about? You said you didn't really necessarily have like a ranking, but other guys. And is there a, outside of the Bills, who's the most interesting team to watch this coming season, in your opinion?
Well, for players, again, like, I didn't prepare it as a big long thing. I only wanted to talk about Matthew Stafford.
All right. See,
but I can come up with a few.
That I went a little bit more detailed than you did in that segment. Okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
I was just teasing, like, hey, you'll say a guy, and then I'll be able to talk about Matthew Stafford. And then you talked about Matthew Stafford. So this is how it feels like when you steal someone's thunder.
Okay, so you know why.
That's okay.
But you know why I do this. I my memory blows. So I have to actually go through teams and players to figure out what's the answer I like. So I'm sitting there going, Justin Herbert, no, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, Ryan Tannehill, blah, blah. I'm spinning through answers, and I go, okay, NFC West. Hey, Stafford. Oh, circle that. That's the one I like. So it's kind of not necessarily making a list, but going through names to make sure I get the right one that I want to bring up in the segment. But there were a few other quarterbacks. And I think the Jags aren't going to be good. They are going to play the Bills. I think Lawrence and Etienne, watching those two guys together, would be fun this season.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they'll have some success. I just don't think they're going to have a lot of wins this year. But is there a most interesting team in the league, not including the Bills?
Yeah, but you're not going to like my answer.
Patriots.
Yeah.
Yeah, because of – no, I wouldn't fight you on that, because there's so much on the line, and it's Belichick, and it's who's the quarterback, and they spent a gazillion dollars. Does it matter if nobody can actually throw the football to them? Does Mac Jones play at any point? And – are the Patriots dead and buried for a little while? Which we all hope the answer is yes. Yeah, I'm not going to fight you on that one.
Right. Well,
it wasn't my first choice, but I understand your logic there.
Yeah, that's one other guy. We had you were off last Friday. Gary Gramling was on with us.
Yep. Yep.
And we talked of SI.com Monday Morning Quarterback. We talked a lot of football, and he's hot. You know, he. I asked him about the tiers of the AFC,
mm-hmm.
and he included Pittsburgh on the Bills tier.
Oh, I wouldn't.
And me, neither would I. And I said to him, all right, Gary, convince me. Why is Pittsburgh still on this tier? And, you know, we talked about their weapons and Najee Harris and all that. They've got weapons. There's no doubt about that. the quarterback. It comes down to Roethlisberger. You know, he's kind of – Sal texted me. His answer on this question is Roethlisberger, and I think that's a very good answer because Roethlisberger, he's been written off in a way that – would I be wrong to say Brady's never been written off as much as Roethlisberger is right now? I think Roethlisberger is
– I think we wanted to write off Brady. We were looking for moments to write off Brady, but I think that was more hope than actual belief that it was writing him off. With Roethlisberger, I think based on the last half of last year, it is actual belief and hard evidence to say, yeah, I think he's shot.
Right.
I think he is. I mean, with Brady, it was, ooh, they're only 2-2, and he just got blown out by Kansas City. I wonder if he's done. I mean, we were trying to convince ourselves. The only legitimate time where I seriously thought, oh, man, he looks awful, was his last year in New England when the offense was bad. I mean, the game he played here and they won, they were terrible. That's the only time in the entire career in New England I actually thought legitimately, not trying to convince myself, legitimately thought, geez, Brady can't do it anymore. Like, he can't make a bad offense better because he's the greatest of all time. And then he went to Tampa and won a Super Bowl.
Yeah. So he was making it better. Because they followed up the next year with 8 touchdown passes.
Yeah. So. Right. So, yeah, I get your – see, but Pittsburgh, you know, from the team standpoint, right, but the Pittsburgh story is it's the reverse. It's not that you're interested to see if they're really good or not. It's you're interested to see – Tomlin's never had a losing
He's
record.
Never had
right?
a sub-500 season.
Okay, so we're talking about, A, possibly the end of the third guy in the class of 04 because the other two aren't playing, the end of an era in Pittsburgh, the definitive, yep, Roethlisberger's done – declaration, and a franchise that for most of our lives, no matter how old you are, you know, you're 40-ish, I'm almost 60, most of us have known nothing but the Steelers winning football games in our lives, mm-hmm. right? So we're talking about possibly the end of an era, the backslide continues for a franchise that's famous for winning, and what the hell are they doing for a quarterback in the future?
Well, he threw for 3,800 yards. Roethlisberger last year, mm-hmm. 33 touchdowns. Those numbers are way down. And the thing you see a lot of, if you're looking at Pittsburgh's offense, is their yards per attempt is just the last two seasons. It's been way down, 6.3 last year and 5.7 the year before. He had never been sub-7 in his career before. Mm. And these last 2 years have been, I mean, very, very different.
Yeah.
So the attempts are up. 608 is a big number. 3 years ago, 675 for attempts, a career high. They're a volume passing offense, and that's why, you know, the idea of getting Najee Harris and kind of grinding back to a run-oriented offense. When we talk about that for the Bills, we don't want that because we're talking about the Bills keeping up with the Chiefs and being a premier offense. I think Pittsburgh just kind of wants to get back to a decent offense because last year it was such a weakness for them. They couldn't run the ball. They couldn't really stretch the field too much. You know, I'm not a believer in the Steeler offense. I kind of bailed on them last year, but they do have weapons. And I guess if they fix it, I don't know, they run effectively and go to play action. It's not the kind of offense I'd want to build in an ideal world.
Yeah.
But it could get them to where they need to be.
And I do think now, okay, there are a couple things here with New England, Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's a little bit different. I don't think there's a storyline in Pittsburgh that if they're bad, is it the end for Tomlin? If New England is bad, I mean, how much – part of me is also thinking, be bad because, by the way, I just want you to stink for a long time, preferably for the rest of my breathing days on the planet. I'd like to see them deal with quarterback purgatory for a long time. You know, get their comeuppance, so to speak. But also, if New England's really bad, how much longer is Belichick coaching? I don't think about that with Tomlin. I mean, he's young enough. Belichick's – I don't know, what is he, 70? Whatever the heck he is. How much longer is he going to coach? And so if New England's really bad, I'm thinking about, okay, is he done too? And is it Josh McDaniels taking over, so forth and so on? I think there are layers to the discussion of New England that make it a little bit different than the discussion in Pittsburgh. And the other thing, too, with Roethlisberger, too, Jeremy, if you think about it, I mean, he's going to be linked with Phillip Rivers and Eli Manning. Rivers, we were having this discussion about Rivers 2 years ago. And what happened? Well, the narrative changed a little bit, right? He went to the Colts. They made the playoffs. He had a good year. And he retired not necessarily going out on top, right? But much better than he would have had he retired in his after his final season with the Chargers, because we were watching that and going, oh my Lord, Philip Rivers is killing this team. They're blowing leads in the fourth quarter. This guy's throwing interceptions. I think he's done. He goes to Indy and he plays better, and they, you know, they make the playoffs. The Manning, like Eli, I don't know what to tell you how I felt about Eli at the end. I don't think Eli was good at the end. He ends up losing the job. But the Giants franchise had also taken a big step back, from which they have yet to recover. The Roethlisberger story to me is interesting because, like, the Steelers have not, like the Giants, taken a step back. He is more in the Rivers discussion from 2 years ago. Oh, my God, he's shot. But it's the Steelers, man. They still make the playoffs. It's Tomlin. They've still got a really good defense, blah, blah, blah. The Roethlisberger story to me is unlike Eli Manning and Philip Rivers, if indeed this is the final year for him at quarterback for the Steelers. And as I said, it's a bigger story because what have they done to try and correct the position, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think it's Mason Rudolph. I don't think the answer is on their roster. At least New England finally went out and drafted a quarterback in the first round for the first time since Belichick's been there. At least they brought in a guy. I don't know how Mac Jones is going to do. I don't know if he's going to play at all this season. But at least New England realized, all right, we really have to do something about quarterback because it's not Brian Hoyer, it's not Cam Newton or whoever else is in town. So let's go get Mac Jones. What did the Steelers do? Unless they really believe it's Rudolph, or I don't even know who else is on the roster, they're going into potentially the end of Ben Roethlisberger with no answer in terms of what you're doing once that era is officially dead and buried.
And how much of Pittsburgh's success over the years, I'm asking this before I've thought of my own answer, but it just came to me. How much of it is a little bit like the Patriots where their division?
Oh, my goodness, yeah, right.
For a long time, two of the teams,
right?
You know, the Browns were a mess.
Mm-hmm.
The Bengals have had some good years, but then,
it was
you know,
a two-team division, really.
Baltimore and Pittsburgh. They became big rivals.
Yep.
I mean, Andy Dalton's Bengals made the playoffs. It definitely wasn't the AFC East, which was the Patriots and maybe one other team that was respectable. And for a long time, the Bills, Jets, and Dolphins all kind of mired at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't quite the same.
Carson Palmer would have made the playoffs. In fact, I think he played the Steelers in the
playoffs. Yeah, I mean, the Bengals had a few years there. They had obviously had a better decade than the Bills
did. I mean, Marvin Lewis's teams made the playoffs. They just never won a game, but at least they were making playoffs. But it was the Steelers and the Ravens, pretty much.
If you want to connect with our fans, I got a text from Noah in Great Valley that I like as a good text.
Dwayne Haskins, by the way, is the other guy. I couldn't think of the other quarterback on the roster,
yes.
And I don't think that's an answer either. We'll get connected with our fans, brought to you by Bon Shanahan King, a full-service Buffalo law firm.
Noah writes in, morning guys, love the show. That'll always get your text right,
thank you, Noah.
As soon as you said the teaser, what player are you most interested in? I was going to text in Stafford.
Hmm.
So it's funny that's who you're talking about. The most interesting team in the league with your next question would definitely be Jacksonville, Urban Meyer.
Hmm.
Yeah. And a question for you guys, he writes in. My question for you guys is, besides Josh Allen and maybe some of the obvious players, who's one player you're most excited to see game day live for the Bills? This kind of gets to your, you know, thing we've been asking about. What did you miss the most? What player are you most excited to see live for the Bills?
Do you have an immediate answer? Because I'm actually giving it some thought. I don't have one that jumped to mind.
I have a very immediate answer.
I mean,
he said other than the obvious players, and I don't know how
Diggs
to do
is
anything
an obvious
other
than.
The answer is Diggs.
Yeah, he's an obvious player, right?
He is an obvious player, but in terms of, you know, a player that is at the top of his game and would be. You don't get the same experience. Like watching Allen at the stadium and watching him on TV, the camera's on him all the time. You get to see every single thing he does.
Mm-hmm.
And a receiver, you don't get that. So to watch Diggs work, and maybe for some this would have been John Brown, Emmanuel Sanders, Cole Beasley. Receivers, you can't quite see the same way. And we haven't seen – we just watched Diggs have one of the best – seasons in Bills receiving history, and we couldn't really watch him work.
Yeah, you can have your own Diggs cam, basically, when you're at the stadium. You can just watch him.
Yeah, you just sit wherever you want to sit and just watch him.
And watch him get open. You know, mm-hmm. right. Watch sure, you can't – that's, I guess that's more of an all-22 thing, right? But that's still a big view. You would love – you basically what you'd want is a Diggs ISO cam. You'd want at home the ability to have the game on, and then in a corner of the screen or split screen, give me a Diggs cam to see exactly how this guy runs every single route, what he does, what kind of coverage he's facing, how he gets open, because he is a master at his trade. And you, sure, you – TV doesn't do that justice, of course. So you, but that, I know it's an obvious answer, but I think that would be the number two guy on the list. There's really, can't think of a guy on defense, quite honestly. I mean, Trey, but I mean, I'm Milano. There's really nobody that comes to mind on that side of the ball. It's not one of the running backs. I mean, I'm curious to see what Moss looks like, but I don't think he's going to, he's not a workhorse back. They're not going to lean on the running game. So yeah, I think it's an obvious answer, but you'd have to go with Diggs because he was so phenomenal last season. And anytime you have an elite player at his position in whatever sport you're talking about, me watching DeGrom every 5 days, anytime you have an elite player like that, you want to be able to just watch this guy work at his trade, and TV does not do that justice enough. So that's a good answer. I thought about Jacksonville because Lawrence and Etienne. You know, I still think the Chargers and Herbert, he kind of tailed off a little bit as the year went on, maybe even beginning with the game here. I mean, he had a really good rookie year. There's a lot to be excited about for him. I think they made some moves, especially with their offensive line, to make the team better. I think he's got some really good weapons around him in the offense. Now, the biggest problem is you're in the division with Kansas City, and if somehow Denver pulls off the trade for Rodgers, that doesn't bode well for the Chargers. But I think Herbert, with what he showed last year, I think they'll get better coaching. I think they'll be a better football team. You know, I think that, to me, is one of the more fascinating teams to watch in terms of young quarterback and where they could go in the future with that guy. So Herbert, I like the Chargers.
His game here, he was 31 of 52.
Yeah.
For a touchdown and a pick, and was not great.
Not compared to what he was doing before he got here.
Yeah, so it's funny, like watching Herbert's year. The week before he was in Buffalo to play the Bills, he went for 366 and three touchdowns and beating the Jets. Then they get beat by the Bills, and they go to New England. I'm sorry, they host New England after that. I don't know if you remember that. New England beat the Chargers 45-0.
Yeah, I think they stayed out in L.A. and got their butts handed to them by the Rams in the next game. But yeah. Right.
But that was a rough day for Herbert. After that, he recovered, and they won their last four games, the Chargers did.
Oh, I didn't know they won four straight. Okay.
They won their last four.
I thought his play kind of tailed off a little bit.
Including a game against Kansas City where the Chiefs rested everybody.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
They beat Atlanta, Vegas, Denver, Kansas City to close the season.
Yeah, I think, you know, look at the young quarterbacks that are either coming in. I don't know if Fields is going to play in Chicago this year. I know they said, you know, Andy Dalton's their guy. I mean, at least to start the season, I guess they announced it. But Herbert in year two, you know, hopefully Joe Burrow stays healthy because there are a lot of reasons to think he's going to be a really good quarterback in Cincinnati. Trying to think of some, you know, as I said, those two guys, plus, of course, the continuation of the Josh Allen story, the Baker Mayfield story, the Lamar Jackson story, that class of quarterbacks. There's some really good, young, talented quarterbacks. Kyler Murray and what is he going to do in Arizona this year? I think that's a great storyline for the NFL. I'm not expecting anything to come out of Darnold. It sounds like Zach Wilson's going to play. What does he do? There are a lot of really, really cool young quarterback storylines to check in this league this year to varying degrees. And I think that's always exciting. Look, we always gravitate towards the quarterback position in the NFL. That's where it's all at. 803-0550 to join us this morning. You can join in on our discussion. You got one player you are most interested to see next season, or one team, not including the Bills. You can share your thoughts at 803-0550. Time to try and give away some money. It's our National Win Cash Contest. We are playing, giving you 11 chances every weekday. And, geez, we're playing this thing into mid-July, so you're going to have a lot of opportunities to win. All you need to do is text in the code word, which this hour is PAGE, P-A-G-E. Text PAGE to 72881. You have until 9 o'clock. Text the word in. Message and data rates may apply. And please do not text and drive. PAGE, P-A-G-E. Again, the number to text it to is 72881. That is the National Win Cash Contest. It is powered by BetQL. Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better bettor. Download the BetQL app today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I think it was an overachieving defense in McDermott's first couple of years, and it just slid back a little bit, and that's it's kind of natural at this point, but they need to figure out what's going to go on with that pass rush, and based on what they did in the draft, that is something they realize as well.
That is Gary Gramling from Sports Illustrated, was on with the boys on Friday, talking Bills and NFL. If you missed it, it's available on on-demand audio, WGR550.com. Hey, one other note on Vlad Jr., no home run derby this year for Vlad. I got to tell you, I'm a little sad about that. From a selfish standpoint, I'm disappointed, but I understand his reasoning. The All-Star game is going to be in Denver.
I mean, it's a shame that we're not going to be able to see the defending champion of the home run
derby.
He's
not
anyway.
The defending. Don't do this to me. This is what we did to Hager. You're not going to get it to work on me. Jeremy and I tortured Dan Hager about the home run derby because, well.
Yeah, I mean, when you've won it once before, you didn't have much left to prove. So,
don't,
I mean,
don't
Vlad
encourage.
Doesn't have to prove it.
Don't encourage Brayton.
He hit like a million home runs and won
the
Derby.
He did. He hit a million home runs and lost the Derby.
Do you guys
remember who won the Derby?
You might want to
Google
that.
Vlad Guerrero.
No.
Yeah, you might want to Google that. I think you're wrong.
In 2019, he did set records for home runs in a single round with 29 and home runs for a Derby with 91. But he lost to a guy by the name of Pete Alonso in the finale of the home run derby. Anyway, he said.
How many did Alonso hit?
I don't remember.
Less than 91?
Well, yeah.
All right, then he lost.
No.
I have my own system. Like the Sagarin ratings. You know, like these guys that have their own college football polls?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got my own scoring system for the derby. Vlad won.
What, you weigh it on an earlier round instead of the final round? You put a little more weight on it?
I have this very controversial thing where I go with most home runs hit. Who hit the most? That guy. He wins. That's it.
It's a marathon, not a sprint. Just remember that. It's not about one round in the home run derby. Anyway, so he's not. He told reporters he just wanted to. He's probably going to be in the game. He's the leading vote getter, I believe, for the All-Star game. So he's probably going to play in the game. And he wanted to be, quote, refreshed mentally for the second half of the season. The Jays hopefully be in a pennant race. So I get it. He's not, you know, he's not the only guy who's ever done that. I was just really looking forward to watching that swing in Denver's ballpark in a home run derby. So selfishly, I'm bumming.
Another baseball note. This is a good story. Joey Votto got ejected last night. Or yesterday.
Yeah, sorry. I saw the game you're referring to over the weekend. Yeah.
Saturday. Right. Saturday's game.
Yeah.
He gets ejected in the first inning of a game. And apparently there was a young girl there who was at her first Major League Baseball game, and her favorite player of all time is Joey Votto. And he got ejected in the first inning.
Yeah.
So they tweeted a picture of her like with a Votto shirt on, this cute little girl, like, great, yeah, this is awesome.
He like got she was ejected. Crying. I mean, she was really upset. Yeah.
So the Reds reached out to the person, the family, and she got an autographed ball from Joey Votto that says, "I'm sorry I didn't play the entire game," which is really funny.
Yeah, that was a nice scene. I saw it because they tweeted out the clip of Votto going over there. She was sitting right next to the Reds dugout. So she like slipped a notebook or whatever. They slipped a notebook under the fence, and he signed it and gave it back to her. That is pretty cool. I would have been heartbroken, like, at that age to have your favorite player, and you're all stoked. And it's your first ever game on top of being, you know, you get to see your favorite player, and you turn around and go, "Mom, what just happened?" "Well, dear, the umpire threw him out of the game." "What does that mean?" "It means he's not going to play the rest of the day in the other eight innings." Like, you would, I'd be like, "What? What just happened?" I got angry when the Mets got Syndergaard thrown out of a game. Like, the poor girl.
I was going to say, you went to a game and Syndergaard got thrown out right away.
She didn't use words that I used at that time. But to this day, I won't. Let's move on. What do you think of the color of the sky? Let's talk about anything other than him. I felt so bad for her because I was really ticked off when they threw Syndergaard out of the game. But moving on.
You should get a refund. Move on. The umpire should be responsible for a refund.
I went to go watch Syndergaard.
I think it was the second
inning? It was pretty early. I don't remember exactly what inning. But I didn't come to watch the umpire throw Noah Syndergaard out of the game. I came to watch Syndergaard throw pitches. You're just stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid! Hey,
quick thing, real quick hockey note here. So there's I saw a report last night and tweeted it out from, according to Sportsnet analyst Shane O'Brien, Matthew Tkachuk might want out of Calgary.
Ooh. Ooh, that'd be a nice player to add for the Sabres, right? Huh?
Yeah, and they want
Reinhart?
My reaction was a Reinhart for Tkachuk kind of deal would, I mean, who knows? That sounds like the start of something. Reinhart might really like to play for Calgary or be out in Canada.
He's getting closer to his home, right, which
Vancouver,
is BC,
Calgary,
right?
Yeah. Right. Like, maybe that could happen. But the problem is that Tkachuk is an RFA after next year. And when you get right down to the Sabres and the spot that they are in, you know, Kevin Adams has said repeatedly, we want players that want to be here. The reason he says that, or one of the things to take away from that, is there are going to be a lot of players that don't. And trading for any player that has any sort of power, like Matthew Tkachuk at the end of next year is an RFA. Is he signing a long-term deal with the Sabres?
Probably not.
I wouldn't think so.
I'd like to leave my options open if I were him.
And
just like Reinhart right now, I'd leave my options open.
Right, and the Sabres are about to go probably through a transition period with young players. You know, guys that want to be here means guys that don't have a choice. Either they are young and don't have the power to force their way out to get somewhere they want to go, to be an RFA that signs a one-year deal so they then hit restricted free agency, UFAs. Like, the Sabres are going to be picking slim when it comes to other players. And this is true of the trade market, too. You want to trade for Matthew Tkachuk, he might just try to ride it out and get out of town. Now, he's a $7 million player right now and is an RFA at the end of next year.
He's making more than Reinhart, by the way. Yeah, he's a $7 million guy. Yeah.
I get to the question, when's the next time the Sabres will have a player sign a long-term contract?
Dahlin?
How much do you think he signs for? How many years?
I don't know. I don't think he's getting like an eight. I don't think he would get an.
Isn't he going to be a bridge?
I wouldn't sign an 8-year max deal if I were him. Yeah, I could be. Sure.
He'll probably be a bridge.
But that's the best shot. Who after him, who would it be?
I don't know.
You're not even close to a best shot after that.
The thing about the long-term contract is I wonder if the organization will be gun-shy on it too.
Oh, because of Skinner Oposo. Right.
I mean, Leno. Erhoff. Eichel.
Yeah.
Like, will they be afraid of big, long contracts? The previous owner wanted to always sign one-year contracts, one-year deals. Tom Golisano, right? He flat out said, like, ideally that I'll be one-year contracts. And I wonder if the Sabres will be reluctant.
Yeah.
They've had to pay coaches to leave, right? Maybe one of the reasons that Don Granato gets the job or is a front runner is not only, you know, how he does, but maybe he's willing to accept the 2-year deal, whereas Bruce Boudreau or Gerard Gallant wants 4 years. I wonder if the Sabres have any sort of just gun shyness or whatever you might say to any commitments.
Well, I have a question and a comment. I'll do the comment first because the question is backtracking to the Kachuk discussion. My comment is, the good news is, and I go finger quote sarcasm, the good news is who the heck is going to be worthy of a long-term contract anytime soon, not including Dahlin. Where are you going? Jokic, how are you? Cousins, which is way down the road. There's really nobody on the roster. Not a goalie. I'm not forgetting anybody. And I don't think Reinhardt, if I'm Reinhardt, I wouldn't touch a long-term deal with this team right now if they were offering it to me. So I'm not sure outside of Dahlin where, and if he gets a bridge, there's nobody in any in the near future, nobody's coming into this discussion. So you're the Kachuk thing. You're one of your favorite games. Who says no? Is one for one good enough? Would it be just a Reinhardt Kachuk? And if that were the case, who would say no? You know, you've got Reinhardt, who's an RFA right now, and Kachuk, who said you're going to be an RFA in one more year. Who would say no?
I think Calgary. They still have him. They have not lost everything.
For one more year. Yeah, with
Kachuk. They still have him for one more year, whereas the Sabres still need to give Reinhardt this year, if nothing else, because he's an RFA without a deal.
Yep.
I think Calgary would say, I don't know. Again, it's just a preliminary report, the idea that he might want out of Calgary, Matthew Kachuk.
Hmm.
I don't know where he'd want to go.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I had someone write into me, it's chicken or the egg, the whole do players want to be here? And it's not chicken or the egg. It's get good, get players. It's not like, well, get the players that want to be here first and then you get good. No. Not really. Like, you got to get. You have to be good enough. You have to have players believe in what you're doing, your vision, your results. You need results, and this organization has had a tough time. They've signed players. A big part of the reason they've been able to sign players is because other players around the league believe in Jack Eichel. Right? Jeff Skinner waved a no move to come here because he believed in Jack Eichel to get him paid. He did. Taylor Hall, right?
Mm-hmm.
He had Kruger here, and he had people he knew.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sabres are about to have a lot of really young players and, you know, a GM that's not necessarily well-known, a coach that, you know, I think Don Granato did a nice job. Kruger was a bad coach but got you a good player. It's a heavy lift, I guess, is what I'm trying to say for Kevin Adams, because you're not dealing with the entire NHL pool. And when you say guys that want to be here, you're kind of effectively telling everybody that it's not everybody.
Look, you know, I think plenty of players wanted to be here. You wouldn't be surprised. You know, I don't think Reinhardt didn't want to be here. I don't think Eichel didn't want to be here when they got here. But if you're around losing for 5 years.
Eichel signed the longest contract he was allowed to sign.
Right. By the way, to stay inside a playoff drought.
Yeah.
So I don't buy into the whole want to be here. I think they want to be here. But would you like to sign up to be around losing all the time? Anybody saying yes? You know, that's the thing. It's not get me guys who want to. Who would want to be here now? If you were a free agent and you weren't from Buffalo or maybe St. Catharines or Welland and you didn't have family in the area, you tell me what's the appeal to be here? Because 10-year playoff drought? Firing GMs and coaches every 2 or 3 years? Possibly trading the best player off your roster this offseason. Who wants to be here for that? I don't want to be here for that. I keep, you know, like I said, if I'm Reinhardt and they offer me an 8-year deal today, let's talk in a year from now. I don't want to touch a long-term contract if I'm Reinhardt. So the whole thing about get guys who want to be here, that sounds really cool. Other than drafting players who basically you have their rights, I mean, they really can't go anywhere for a certain amount of time. Right now, who would want to be in Buffalo to play for the Sabres? I was going to say it's a short list, but
yeah, it's probably going to be young guys and guys without very many opportunities.
Yeah, or you know, the guys that have no ability to go elsewhere that have to be here under an entry level contract, or you know, they're years away from free agency or whatever. Who the heck wants to be here with the worst franchise in the league right now? So the whole one get guys that want to be here. You know what? If you win, everybody will want to be there. Everybody will be happy. Your players will want to stay, right? The Bills. Look what happened to the Bills. Matt Milano, he didn't leave. He told his agent through the whole process this offseason, hey, I want to stay in Buffalo. You know, look at Darrell Williams and John Feliciano. All these, they didn't leave. They wanted to stay here. Poirier got an extension. Hyde got an extension. There are guys, Dawkins got an extension. Trey got an extension. There are guys who didn't even get to their free agency year and said, yeah, sure, I'll sign an extension. Why? Well, they're winning. Why wouldn't you want to be here and play for the Bills right now? Who the heck wants to be on the Sabres right now? So the whole get guys that want to be here, baloney. Get a winning team and guys will be happy, period, done. You won't have a defenseman at the end of the year do a Zoom call and go, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I could be here. I could be elsewhere. Whatever. It doesn't really matter to me. Really? Win. That's all it is. Win. Everybody will want to be here. Okay, we'll get a break. Thursday is the 100 Holes of Golf. A big fundraiser. Jeremy, of course, is going to be golfing on Thursday and calling in and checking in from the course. We're going to have details on that and how you can help out Jeremy and his team and raise money for a couple of great causes. That's coming up in a moment. 803-0550 to join us, WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Two more days to the 100 holes of golf. You've been watching the weather for me.
You. Not You're my today. Weather guy. I know. No? Yeah, right. Like I know the weather.
It's
not
cold
today. It's yeah. Well, it's okay. Turn off the air conditioning. Have the windows open. Day.
High 63
Thursday, and it's still looking the same. 82, partly cloudy.
Good. Good. Good.
Does not appear. And chance of rain still at 10%. So
it's
mostly sunny now instead of partly cloudy.
61 degrees when we start, and like 81 degrees when we finish.
That's not bad,
right? We'll be out there playing in these conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Playing with us, Doug Beats is on the Wester Hotline. Doug is a cancer survivor and will be playing in the tournament. Not tournament, please, not a tournament. I'm not out there to win. I'm just getting through it. And Doug joins us on the Wester Hotline. Doug, good morning. How are you today?
No, I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Good. So you've heard about this 100 holes. This is your first time playing with us, though.
Yep, that's correct.
So how did you decide to get involved as someone that's heard about it, knows that, the fundraising is for Roswell Park and for the Luca Kalani Foundation? Tomorrow we're going to talk a little more about the Luca Kalani Foundation. Today it's a little bit more about Roswell. So how did you decide to get involved, and what's the cause for you?
I was diagnosed with cancer when I was 20 and did my duration of treatment at Roswell Park. And golf was kind of a way for me to cope with, the difficulties of going through chemotherapy and just to kind of take my mind off of it. So, two of the people that I played with the most were my grandfather and my dad. Since completing treatment, I've kind of looked for a way to, to give back that kind of fit me as a person. And I saw, the 100 holes of golf, and I thought it, think it's a great thing that, you guys have started as well as, with Simon. And so I thought that, it might really fit, my way to try to give back. So I just tried to, to be a part of it. And I'm glad that you guys will have me to try to help money to raise some more money.
And, of course, having been diagnosed and gone through the treatment before, you would have seen, how things work at Roswell Park, not just from – a treatment standpoint, but families that have to be there, and whether it's kids. I mean, you're 20 at the time, so you're not exactly a kid, but you're not an adult. I mean, when you're 20 years old, what's that like?
Yeah, I mean, so looking back now, and I'm only 30 at this point, but, really at 20, you are a kid as well. But, it kind of gives you some insight as to the difficulties that, these families go through where, they're essentially helpless, with their kids fighting, you know, these terrible, terrible diseases. And, you know, and that's where the Courage of Carly and Roswell Park, you know, they really want to get into, you know, how they can help these, you know, the other family members and their parents and stuff through this. And, you know, I think that's very important just because, you know, as much as the, you know, the patient themselves are fighting, you know, for their lives, you know, the families themselves are also fighting, you know, and they're just not sure, you know, and they're giving up a ton of things to, you know, to make sure that their child gets through it. And, you know, it's just really tough on everybody, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're raising funds for the Courage of Carly Foundation for pediatric cancer, for those families, you know, the Roswell itself as well. And it, just to help along, you know, kids, this tournament we do, this 100 holes, it's for a lot of families with young kids in ways we can help. For the 100 holes, I mean, Howard asked me this. You any training? You know, what's the most you've ever played in a day?
So it's been a while, but when I was a kid, I used to play, you know, 36 or, you know, a little bit more than that, maybe 45 holes in a day. You know, since I've gotten older, I tend to ride the cart, but I'm from out in Wyoming County, so our courses around here are pretty hilly. So I've been walking every day, playing at least 9 holes or 18 holes, carrying my bag. So I'm kind of hoping that carrying the bag is going to give me a little bit more, you know, longevity of just walking under my own power, you know, while we're going through it here. So just keep putting one foot in front of the other is what I'm going to keep saying to myself.
Yeah, we've got caddies that'll help out. It is a long walk. I did the 100 once before riding, and then last year we got rained out after about like 70, 75 holes. So, yeah, we'll be out there. Well, do you I'll tweet out your fundraising page because, you know, we're all on the same team here. We're all looking to get to our goal, and through the Roswell website. I mean, they do a great job with their fundraising websites, by the way people can set up for the Ride for Roswell, all that stuff. So I'll be sure to tweet out your page and make sure that, you know, you're already up over $3,000 raised on your team. So you're past your goal. We'll keep pushing your goal. I'll tweet out the link to Doug's page, anybody that wants to help out and donate. And, Doug, I'll see you on the course. I'll see you on Thursday.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. That's Doug Beats, cancer survivor, 100 holes golfer for Thursday at Wanaka Country Club, our 100 holes. I'm excited, Howard. I'm ready.
Yeah. Well, this year you'll get all the golfing.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many? Absolutely. How many did you end up getting in last year? What was the number?
I think it was like 70 to 75.
Oh, you got most of it. All right, you got a good chunk of it, I guess. I should say. All right.
So I did tweet out. I should put some bet it or forget it or some gambling lines on this. You know, people if they wanted to, they could pledge, you know, $1 per par, $1 per birdie. There wouldn't be very many birdies.
How many birdies did you have last year? Do you recall?
I don't. Maybe not any. I don't know.
Oh, come on! Yeah, definitely.
I don't know if I had very many. No.
Is Wanaka a tough course?
No. Some of the guys we play with are getting money for eagles because there are some really good players that play in this thing. Dollars per birdie, dollar per par. Maybe, you know, dollars per mile walked.
I'm sorry, I didn't know if you want dollars per bogey.
That you might be giving more money. I mean, if I'm playing 100, you know, I'm looking at 60 bogeys.
That's a good donation.
And pars, I'd like to think, well, I don't know. We'll see.
30?
I average like 6 pars a round, so this year I should get like 30 pars.
All right, see, there you go. That's good. I'd go with the bogeys, everybody. Just help. It's a good cause.
You go dollar per mile walked. I mean, that's going to be in the neighborhood of 30 to 40. You could go dollars per ball lost.
Oh, that's nice.
You know?
What's the ruling on how long you take to look for a ball?
-2 seconds.
Yeah, you're just done? Next?
Drop the ball, hit again.
Go. All right. That's smart. That's actually smart, yeah.
It actually, one of the things we play with, a rule we played with last year, I'll have to find out if we do it this year too, is, you know, there are businesses, a lot of places that have pledged dollars per birdie for the whole team. So, like, you know, all these golfers, all 100 holes, you know, we walk away with 375 birdies or whatever it is. We keep the score.
Mm-hmm.
And one way to encourage players to get the birdies is if you are on the green and you are going for a birdie putt and you put it past the hole, the par is a gimme no matter what. Because, again,
right.
Like, we're not actually
– right. You got 100 holes you're playing.
And you don't want to leave birdie putts short when every birdie putt's worth money from, you know, sponsors
right.
and people that are donating money. So
right.
It's all about raising as much money as we can and – Yeah, there you go.
You don't anticipate a Bryson DeChambeau hole where you have a quadruple bogey, do you?
Let's hope not. No, I won't have a single quadruple bogey
because I won't
take any penalty strokes, and I will just pick the ball up and walk to the next hole.
Yeah, life's better that way.
Oh, boy. Mike Lisakowski, $50 per birdie, $100. He's offering me $100 per eagle. Mike, that's the safest $100 of your life.
I
don't think I've had an eagle in my life. The fact that I don't think I have means I haven't, because I would remember it. I've hit eagle putts.
So you'll get an eagle or a hole-in-one? Which would happen first?
Well, technically, a hole-in-one is an eagle.
Yeah, right. On a par three,
yeah.
Eagle.
I mean,
that's a nice one. $100 for an eagle. Go out and get an eagle. By the way, you know what? Just between you and me, just go on the air and say you got an eagle. Who's going to know?
Listen, I'm a man of integrity, all right?
It's for a good cause.
It's true.
Right? Integrity goes out the window. It's raising money
for a
great cause.
I lied for charity.
Round of my life, four eagles. Unbelievable. Yeah. I could not believe how the ball was falling.
Yeah, four eagles, 38 birdies. I would have won the U.S. Open out there.
Who's going to complain, you know? Right? Nobody's calling you out. Just do whatever you want.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do what we can.
Hey, when we get back, so Jeremy, all the information, by the way, if you follow Jeremy on Twitter and like, a million of you do. So you'll find all the information, ways to donate, links to all that stuff for him, and his team on Jeremy's Twitter feed. When we get back, we're venturing through portion of the NHL here, trying to find potential landing spots for Jack Eichel if the Sabres are going to trade him. Who? What's out there? What prospects are available? Today, we're going to focus on Minnesota. Judd Zolgad from Score North is on the way in just a moment on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.